our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
Amen. Let's give God a praise today. For thine is the kingdom. Isn't it great just to glorify God? Aren't you glad for the avenue of prayer? Amen. Oh, come on. Y'all won't sound like you don't need a cue for me to praise God. If you sense the Spirit of God moving in your heart, just go ahead and give Him. You got permission to praise Him. You don't have to wait for anybody to push you or pull you. Anybody want to just praise Him today just because? Amen. Just because. Come on, Lord, Father, Lord, today. Just because. Just because. Hallelujah. Father, we come today in this moment, asking even now that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today. Encourage another. And when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord today. We certainly welcome those who are joining us online, and thank God for you. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from the gospel as penned by Luke. And there in the 11th chapter, we kind of been there for a minute, haven't we? If y'all say we have, then that means you've not been here. You've not been following us, but we thank the Lord today. And I don't know about you, but I've just learned and been energized by sharing the Lord's Prayer. Amen. There in the fourth verse, just one passage, it reads, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "Teach Us to Pray, Part 4. Teach Us to Pray, Part 4. This week I got a chance to step back a moment and to remember Ernest Hemingway, an American novelist and journalist. And I don't remember what class we had to read this book, but we had to read it. The Old Man at the Sea. How many had to read that? Really? That was not required reading for you? I don't know if I got a book report or if I passed the course. I did pass the course. But Hemingway was an interesting fellow. He certainly won a Pulitzer Prize for that work. But he had written many short stories, one in particular called "The Capital of the World." I was drawn to that work and real way, it tells the story of a young man named Paco. And somewhere along the way, Paco and his father had a falling out to the degree that Paco left home. And there he was on the streets of Madrid, walking aimlessly. Dad didn't know where Paco was. Whatever had been their issue, Dad felt the need to reach out. So he went and he took out an ad in the newspaper there in Spain, and he said, "Paco, all is forgiven. Love, Papa. Meet me at the Montana Hotel at noon on Tuesday." When that day came, there were 800 young men whose names were Paco. And they were all there looking for someone, some father to forgive them. Maybe there's some Paco in us. Maybe God has brought us to a place that we need to let down our pride and offer forgiveness. Oh, it's going to be tight today. Because this is an area that gets at the core of our experience. And when I think about this sense of forgiveness, it also is akin to temptation. Sin and temptation, they know each other. They run together. They are familiar with each other. They've slapped each other five because sin is real. Amen? And sin and temptation, they can be personal. It can be painful. It can be persuasive. Personal. Verse 4, and keep in mind the backdrop, is that Jesus is minding his own business, and one of his disciples comes to him and says, "Master, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And so the prayer is what Jesus said to them. It's how he responded. I was driving back from an event last night, and it just hit me. Who is at the core of this text? It's Jesus. And so Jesus is saying to his followers, this is how to pray. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. It is personal. Forgive us our sins. What is sin exactly? What is it? And saying that, nine things came to mind. Well, that's sin. That's kind of sin. Maybe it's not sin. You know, God understands. You know, I'm not there yet. Please be patient with me. Sin, actions by which humans rebel against God, miss his purpose for their life, and surrender to evil. Romans 3 and 23 reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? All. And because sin is personal, it belongs to us. My sin may not be your sin. I love the bumper sticker that says that Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. And we can't blame other folk for our sin. Amen? If they had not said that to me, I wouldn't have done it. If they had not got on my last nerve, I would not have went there. Oh, I told you it's going to be rough riding today. Amen? And we may have said, in the words of the late Flip Wilson, "The devil made me do it." I say that you helped him, and I helped him as well. In our spiritual DNA, all the way back to the garden, there was the blame game. Adam and Eve, and Adam blamed Eve, and then Eve blamed the serpent. And so at the result of that, sin had still taken place. And that's why Christ came, to redeem a broken humanity. He came for sinners just like us. Now, some of y'all are still processing that I'm not really a sinner. Yes, you are. And so am I. So I want you to stay on board and not hop off. And because we are sinners, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is personal.
Yeah.
Jesus knew what he was doing when he wrote that he had already detected in the guys their own issues. And that's how he is able to prescribe for us, because he knows who we are and what we're going through. He may not give you the same medicine that he gives me. Yours might be twice daily. Others might be with a meal at night only. But hallelujah, he's prescribing something for us sinners. But you know, sin can be painful. It says, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Painful. You've hurt somebody. Not yesteryear. This week. Someone has hurt you. You determined that I ain't gonna let that go. You must not know who I am. I'm not gonna take it. Oh yeah, Christians ball their fists up. Jesus didn't take it. And we'll find a scripture that, you know, he kicked the tables over. But it's painful because hurt people hurt people. And that should not be the reason for you to forgive. And we can't be selective. Well, I forgave two people this week. And the other two, I'm just not going to stand for it. Now, I love the fact that you're loose, but we are selective. There's some folks we've forgiven very easily. Other folk, we're still holding it. Amen? Because we're hurting, and it's been painful, but you said that Jesus paid it all. Amen? This sense of forgiving, Ephesians 4:32, and it says, and be kind. I could stop right there. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The forgiven must be the forgiver. Right now, that person that you have written off, that person you say it'll be a cold day in Nottingham before I forgive them. Think about it. Think about it, that you have allowed that to fester in your spirit, that you came to church with that issue still today. I went to church, but you still have not forgiven someone. I came across the writings of the late African Anglican bishop and theologian Desmond Tutu. He said in one of his works these words: forgiving is not forgetting, it's remembering. Remembering and not using your right to hit back. It's a second chance for a new beginning. Tutu goes on to say, and the remembering is important, especially if you don't want to repeat what happened. Now, there's a lot to unpack there, but you say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, it's in the forgetting that you're able to grow. It's in the forgetting that you're able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But you must, and I must, make the commitment to forgive somebody. And I've already kind of checked my list. So, well, wait a minute. Now, I'm not goody two-shoe. I'm not good Timmy. But most of that just kind of flown off my back. I said, I'm waiting for somebody to ask for my forgiveness. It may not happen. But as long as I've got peace. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you've tried and the person says, I don't even come to me with that. But you and I have an obligation to forgive as we have been forgiven. Jesus wrote that specifically for his disciples. I mean, they were the ones that said, can you teach us to pray? And yet, temptation and pain can be persuasive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not happen chance that both are in the same passage. They were placed there, same prayer. And I believe that we can be tempted not to forgive.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That the enemy is so strategic, he'll say, well, you don't really have to do that. But it's where God gives you peace and know. And we know, because the Holy Spirit will work on us. The Holy Spirit will reveal the things that we need to do, and yet temptation is real. Amen?
Amen.
Tempted to hold a grudge. Tempted to be downright nasty and then do it under the guise of I'm a Christian. And many people are watching us. And, oh, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of that. Amen?
Amen.
James 1 and 13 is a key passage. It didn't say if tempted. It says when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. That's a good one to write down. James 1, 13. When tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14 of James 1. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, in verse 15, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, give birth to death. Man, that's powerful. I mean, you see, there's steps along the way that you messed up and you continue to mess up and you continue to mess up. Am I on anybody's street today? I'm on my street. I'm on the interstate in the fast lane. But here's the good news. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Hear this again. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He gives us an exit sign. We got into the building. The fire marshal said, you need ways of escape. That door is there in case somebody needs to get out that door as an escape. Or go this way as an escape. And so the Lord will give us a way out if we want to accept it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord today. God will deliver us from evil, from temptation. I love the hymn that says, yield not to temptation. For yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Oh, you like to win. Oh, you want your team to win the day. And you want to win on the baseball diamond, a win on the golf course. We want a W over sin. Amen? Anybody want to win today? Oh, yeah, I want the victory. I don't want to be in the loss column. I want to win. And in my winning, I'm able to win somebody for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That when God transforms me, it's not really about me. That in that forgiving, in that not yielding to temptation, God is able to use you to reach somebody. Everybody's not listening to what you're going to say, but they're watching you. And they're watching me. So you know what? Isn't that the Reverend? He's still mad at the co-worker. And so therefore, you have been blocked in your witness, because your witness and my witness is not lining up to the word. Hallelujah. I feel that thing today. Amen. And this is good medicine to help us all out. Amen. That's why we have to pray. Why? Because we know temptation will come. That's why we got to pray, because we'll hold on to things and won't let them. That's why we got to pray, because the enemy's all, it takes all that and some. Amen. Would not be the prayer. Think of how Matthew 6:13 ends. It says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What is amen? Amen means truly. Amen means so it is. Amen is connected to praising and giving God praise. And so we often say, let the church say amen. Well, the building can't talk. You are the church. And when God has brought you from our Father to amen, my God, there will be some shouting in between our Father. Hallelujah and amen. What has he done between your our Father and your amen? Has he brought you through between your our Father and your amen? Has he put food on your table between your our Father and your amen? Has he healed your body between your our Father and amen? Has he delivered you from something between your our Father and your amen? All I know is this, that since Jesus came into my heart, oh, what joy I have. Since Jesus began to work on me, I'm a better man. I thank God today for the avenue of prayer. I thank God today for sending Jesus Christ. I thank God. So don't you take this prayer lightly. It's just the Lord's prayer. Oh, hallelujah. There's some power in that prayer. But most of all, know that there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's something about the blood that will do what? It will wash all of our sins away. I know you got Mr. Clean. I'm talking about Christ Jesus, who will take stuff that you refuse to let go, and he'll wash you whiter than snow. I'm glad today that I've got a prayer. Amen. Our Father, amen. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today in this place. I know the Lord's Prayer. I memorized that when I was a child. Yeah, go back and start digging in it. Man, that forgiving temptation, that thing should have had you twisted. Because it brings to mind somebody you still, I ain't gonna do it. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your word. I'm glad that disciple raised the question. Master, teach us to pray. He spoke for the others who didn't speak up. Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples.
Yes.
And Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He says, when you pray, say, our Father.
Yes.
Father, we come today and every part of the scripture that applies to us, might we receive it and might we live it. Even now, there might be one, after all this time, has never confessed their sins to you. Never said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul today and make me whole today. And I'm a sinner, but I believe, God, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Save someone today, as only you can. Sin has blocked fellowship. Sin has given us a detour. But today, like spiritual Drano, I pray, God, you might open up our hearts today. Open up our minds today, and we'll be a whole lot better once we've laid our burdens down. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a praise today. People need the Lord. I need it. Every day, every hour. Realize people that you know, people in your own house, people on your job, people down the street you laugh with at the corner, they need it. The open door. Come on, say it like you know it, people. Oh, we need you, Lord.
People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord?
Amen. Just take your seats for a moment. I thank God for that word